6 months back, you might remember we got a call, it was when I was on the Breakfast Program, from a lady who worked in the Department of Foreign Affairs call centre for a period of time. And she called me to say, you will not believe the ridiculous questions we get from people calling the 24-hour consular assistance line. And I said, oh, well, try me on, I'd be surprised. She said, well, we had a call from someone wanting to know why their mobile telephone wouldn't work and why they couldn't get it to work. And they suggested they call the phone company. 5 minutes later, the phone rang back from the person saying, I've tried that and they said I have to pay more. I need my phone over here. Foreign Affairs are saying, you realise you've called the Australian government, we're not a phone company. Abusive person hung up. There were calls about someone saying, I've got to this country, I don't like it here, I'm trying to get a refund, and no one will help me. Can you? Well, no, you've called the Department of Foreign Affairs. Then I read in a great opinion piece written in yesterday's Australian newspaper, there are people ringing up saying, I forgot to arrange someone to look after the dogs. You can imagine the pause at the end of the telephone line. This is the garbage the Australian Department of Foreign Affairs get from citizens abroad who think for some reason because they've forgotten something or they need something that their government is there to do it for them. And I think this is a little insight into the mindset of many people in Australia at the moment. We've come to the conclusion that when all else fails, government will do it. Flights get cancelled, government will help me out. The country I'm in is in the middle of some crisis. Our government will bail me out. Government will fly me out of this. And they should have to pay because it's not my fault. My holiday's been ruined. Government, help me. I guess the point of this is, for some reason, we're resistant to put the phone down on these people. And as more people travel abroad, more people travel overseas because flying is cheaper now, the places they go are more bizarre, are more intriguing, are more distant, are further away from help. Guess what? The phone rings more and more. And for some reason, the dummies don't like taking out travel insurance. So guess what? They get hurt. They think it's government's fault. Government, help me, I'm hurt. Australians ought to realise that if you break the law in another country, if you get hurt in another country, you're in another country. Just like my point about the visas and people showing up at our hospitals, you're in someone else's country. You can't have your hand out. Which brings me to an interesting piece written, I made reference to this, by Alex Oliver, who's with the Lowy Institute, who made the point that if we're going to continue to offer this sort of, you know, someone will always be there to help you thing, someone has to pay for this. Are you prepared, everyone prepared, to sort of start subsidising the idiots? Alex with me this afternoon, nice to talk to you, g'day.
Hi Jason, how are you?
Your language probably not the same as mine, but I call it the idiots. People who ring up government thinking that government will sort out their problems. What planet are you on?
Well, it's funny because Australians seem to live on a different planet when they're at home. It's a nation that prides itself on its resilience and its independence and its resourcefulness and frequently faces natural disasters like floods and hurricanes with great courage. And yet, as soon as they sit on a plane siege out of the country, heading off to adventure and tourism somewhere else, yes, that resilience and independence seems to fly out the window a little bit. And there's a couple of examples that you gave of the silly requests that people make. There's actually a long list of those that the Department of Foreign Affairs receives every year. And in fact, ministries of foreign affairs around the world receive similar requests like that. Can you get me Oprah Winfrey tickets? And, you know, I need my friend to get his bike out of my garage. You know, can you help me find him? I haven't seen him for 3 years.
So these are real. Get me Oprah tickets.
These are real examples that were actually given to us by the Department of Foreign Affairs.
Are they drunk when they call? Is there a little notation in the story that tells us that?
Well, possibly. You know, Australians do funny things when they're overseas, and they occasionally do get into drunken scrapes and find themselves in prison and then call help to the Australian government and say, get me out of here. And unfortunately, with the sort of media attention that some of those high-profile cases get, the politicians often cave into requests like that because it is really difficult to see one of your citizens in trouble overseas, no matter how foolish or avoidable their predicament was. So we tend to sort of intervene in those cases when perhaps we shouldn't, or when perhaps the message should be, yes, of course, we will try and help, we'll do the best we can, but you guys, you know, get real. Take out your insurance policy, know the laws of another country, as you mentioned earlier, Jason. You only need to understand that there's a death penalty in Indonesia for drug offences, and if you get caught dealing drugs on Kuta Beach, the likelihood is you'll get into serious trouble. and obey and respect the customs of other countries. Like, you know, dress codes in Saudi Arabia, that sort of thing. Don't walk down the street in a bikini because you're bound to get into trouble.
Yeah, well, that kind of stuff amazes me because I find myself in this hot zone because you never win friends saying that people who commit crimes in nations and find themselves looking down the barrel of a firing squad knew the tango that they were taking, then, you know, that's the way it goes. But I just find it extraordinary the level of outcry that's been now ringing around this country for years and years because a girl got caught with drugs and a boogie board, and for some reason people can't cop the fact that she got a tough sentence over there, which is only tough because in this country we would barely slap someone for that. Over there they hit you hard, and she could have got far more. And there seems to be this view that for some reason the Australian government, you know, almost needs to be running some Delta Force mission over there to get Chappelle home. Whereas, yeah, okay, no, it's more complicated than this, but there's no one that's left in any doubt when you show up at Bali. I mean, they even have stick figures showing what happens to you if you bring drugs in.
Mm. Yeah, it is a continuing problem, and although they're very serious death penalty cases, obviously the Australian government takes a very strong stance about the death penalty and is opposed to it, as many Western nations are. And in fact, developing nations are. So I sort of leave aside those cases, but there are some, you know, more trivial offences, like, you know, just being caught dealing a gram of marijuana on the street and then hoping that you're going to get out of it, out of prison, and you won't have to do it.
Well, you're going to get the Australian punishment for that, which will be a good behaviour bond.
Yeah.
If that.
Let's not go there.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I mean, I think this comes back to the heart of it. Now, you know, if we're going to continue to run this service where we want to rescue Aussies everywhere around the world, which seems to be what every Australian in trouble thinks we need to have, then get ready to pay for this because it is extraordinarily pricey. I remember one famous case of the time we chartered a ferry to get a whole lot of Australians, who some of them were Australians by technicality, they hadn't been in the country for a very long time, out of war-torn Lebanon, across to safety in Cyprus. We spent a bucket load of taxpayers' money and were barely able to recover a cent out of that because everyone thought once they're safe, well, that's good, my government helped me.
Well, that's a really good example because, in fact, out of Lebanon in 2006, 4,500 Australians or dual Australian citizens were brought directly back to Australia, so not even just across the ferry, but right all the way back to Australia, you know, by ferry and planes and various other means. Look, the Department of Foreign Affairs pulls out all the stops in big crises, and it's had to do that a lot recently with the Arab Spring, Tokyo tsunami and earthquakes, Christchurch earthquakes, bombings in Mumbai. You know, there's just been a long list of crises that have really tested the department right to its limits. And it's a department that's already suffering. It's had 20 years of sort of underfunding and minimal attention from government because when it comes to budget time, foreign affairs is not the sort of thing that sells well with the public. You know, they say, well, what do we need a Department of Foreign Affairs for? They're not realising that, you know, when they're in trouble overseas, they do need the Department of Foreign Affairs. And it hasn't been very well supported by government. So you're right to say somebody needs to pay, and our proposal is a $5 fee on the cost of an airline ticket. Now, look, there's going to be some pushback on that, you know, whether it's from the airlines or from the travelling.
So the old departure tax.
Well, there is actually, there remains a departure tax under another name.
Yes, that's right. We hid that. We abolished it but called it something else. So we're essentially putting another one on. We'll call it the idiot tax.
Well, or something, you know, to the effect, either add it on to that or perhaps even divert some of the departure tax, heaven forbid, back towards the Department of Foreign Affairs where it's really needed. Because we can't keep on servicing these escalating claims for assistance, because not only is the expectation rising, but also there are a lot more Australians travelling overseas every year. So there are 8 million trips taken overseas every year compared with 4 million 10 years ago,
yeah.
Doubled. So Australians love to fly. They love to travel overseas. They're very adventurous. And that's putting a huge amount of pressure.
Look, is the problem here, and are we missing the elephant in the room here, is the problem that travel insurance is too expensive and then doesn't cover enough? Because, I mean, I've gone to a couple of places in recent years and I've been quite surprised, actually, that the cost of travel insurance was a bit less than I expected, just knowing how insurance companies hit you. Yeah. But then people say, oh, well, read the fine print and look at what they do and don't cover. And I just wonder if, you know, before we go slapping a bit of tax here and hope that helps some people out, if if the real issue here is that we've got to put a little heat on the insurance companies and say, hey, hang on, this is unfair.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of problems with that approach, and you raise a very, very good point, because travel insurance is something that's a bit of a sore point here. About 50 to 60% of Australians get travel insurance when they travel, compared with, say, 85% of the British who get travel insurance. So we are actually underinsured. Now, whether that's a travel insurance issue in terms of cost of policy or the incompleteness of the policy, then I guess, you know, we've got some work to do there, encouraging people to take out insurance and making sure that the insurance policy they do take out is the right one. If you're going to go somewhere, you know, in the mountains and do some extreme skiing, you need to make sure that your insurance policy is going to cover you, because actually you're probably going to get charged in that country for a rescue anyway, let alone your health costs. So, yes, insurance is a big issue, and it is the elephant in the room. And DFAT is trying really hard to get people to take out insurance.
Because there's almost this view that, you know, what we should be doing is putting some blanket health insurance policy on people leaving Australia. You know, as part of the your passport, by its existence in your possession, guarantees you to some kind of cover. I mean, for goodness sake, are we this dumb now that we need to have this for people? It's kind of where I'm at, but I mean, I'm a fierce anti-government person in these fronts. I think we're sort of bright enough to figure things out and usually do it cheaper if we do it our own way. But
yeah, well, exactly. And as a government, you know, as a proponent of small government, if you are that, then you wouldn't want to force people to take out insurance. They shouldn't, you know. Wouldn't be a law.
It's a risk you take.
They must take out a travel insurance policy. But given that, and given that we don't, and given that those insurance levels are still quite low, this is one way of saying, okay, you know, for a nation that's not particularly good at looking after itself overseas, $5 or the cost of a cup of coffee at the airport, this is what will help the Department of Foreign Affairs look after you when you're overseas, because the demands on it are increasing.
It'll help them answer the phone. I'm not sure it'll necessarily pay for all the damage that they have to go and clean up because of it all. Thanks for talking to me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thanks, Jason.
Alex Oliver, who clearly knows a lot about that, from the Lowy Institute. 13 13 32 is my